1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin legislature is done with the state budget. Now, lawmakers are turning their attention to education policy. Terry Bell reports.
A number of non-fiscal education proposals are still making their way through the legislative process. They include more emphasis on phonics to teach reading and banning materials considered obscene from school libraries. Other bills would require schools to teach Hmong American history, money management, and respect for law enforcement. The Cap Times of Madison reports a new proposal would let school districts hire superintendents who are not licensed by the State Department of Public Instruction. Bills would get hearings this summer and votes in the fall. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A flooded milk market is running over into the sewers. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles with more.
Truckloads of milk have been dumped down the drain, according to waste treatment officials in the Milwaukee area. With dairy processors currently full to the brim, there's no other option for a perishable commodity like milk. Officials treat the raw milk to comply with federal environmental guidelines, but the milk goes to waste and farmers are at a loss. A flooded milk market is one more hurdle Wisconsin dairy farmers face in an industry that's seen more than 70% of farms close for good over the past two decades.
June was National Dairy Month, which was initially created to help increase demand when production was in surplus. This year, some of that surplus ended up down the drain. Wisconsin's voting rules are subject of heated debate. Disputes are likely headed to the courts and the state legislature. Meanwhile, Minnesota stands out for its efforts to make voting easier and more accessible. Joe Greeney tracks voting policies state by state for Ballotpedia. Greeny says Minnesota is a national leader in automatic voter registration. The state is also giving more state money to local clerks to run elections.
Minnesota obviously did a lot of big work this year, and they're a little bit of an outlier actually across the whole country in terms of taking on and making substantial changes to election administration in the state.
Minnesota is giving more options for multilingual voting information. It is also boosting penalties for voter intimidation and interference. A train derailed in southwestern Dodge County on Tuesday afternoon. The Canadian Pacific train reported no injuries to the crew from the derailment. In all, 29 cars left the tracks in the town of Lowell. This was the ninth train derailment in Wisconsin in 2023, according to records kept by the Federal Railroad Administration. In all of 2022, the state had 11 derailments. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources was on the scene, and reportedly the train was not carrying hazardous materials. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. The search goes on for three men who went missing while swimming in the Mississippi River near Red Wing, Minnesota. Goodhue County deputies were called Monday morning. Witnesses say two men were swimming near the confluence of the Vermilion and Mississippi Rivers. When they started to struggle, a third man went into the water to try to help. All three vanished. Authorities are asking boaters to be aware of the situation and slow down in that area. The summer's drought is affecting corn crops. Knee-high by the 4th of July is not the rule this growing season. President of the Wisconsin Farmers Union tells Channel 19 in La Crosse that moisture has been uneven this summer. He's concerned about the time corn is supposed to come to maturity. Aaron Von Ruden says farmers with irrigation systems are doing better. Corn prices are expected to soar if this year's crop is too small. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs in extra innings. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens. Chicago had lost seven of their last eight games. Desperate for a win, they jumped out to an early 4-0 lead. For the second day in a row, Milwaukee battled back, tying it up 6-6, sending it into extra innings. Then in the bottom of the 11th, the Brewers' Owen Miller was the tying run at third. Bryce Terang at the plate. Pat Hughes with the call on the Cubs radio network.
A swing and a pop fly. Shallow left. Happ coming in. Let's see if the runner tags. The catch by Happ. The runner's going to try to score. The throw to the plate. He is going to be out at the plate. The Cubs win an incredible ball game.
The Brewers losing to the Cubs 7-6 in 11 innings of play. Craig Counsell said he wanted his base runners in the final two innings to be aggressive, but Chicago's Ian Happ gunned them down at the plate from left field.
You know, Happ made great throws. Just the catch, it kicked up on him a little bit. He made a good play on the catch. And look, it was a great game today. You know, we're on the losing side of it, unfortunately, but really good game. You know, I thought both teams just left everything out there for sure. You know, we battled back down four again and battled back.
Was the rivalry between the Cubs and the Brewers on display in this one? Brewers pitcher Wade Miley.
No doubt. You know, it's exciting. It sucks that we came out on the wrong end of it, but it's cool for the fans. It was a cool game. We fought back. Super pumped about how we fought back into that game and got back in it and had chances to win it. Just unfortunately, wrong side.
Cubs manager David Ross and his first base coach Mike Napoli were both ejected from the game after complaining when the home plate ump lost track of the count, calling a strike three when there were only two strikes. Ross even questioned why the roof of the stadium was being closed with the game in progress.
I know it's not an easy job, but there's some of the pitches that got called today just weren't even close, and so it's got to be better. You know, they're closing the roof to get rid of the shadows late. There's a lot of bullshit that went on today that just was really frustrating.
Are they allowed to do that during
the game? I thought it was horseshit. I don't know.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Yeah, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday. It feels like a Monday. It's the 5th of July. Hope you had a great Independence Day. Enjoyed yourself. Hope you had some time off. Got to spend some time with the family, etc. And I had a great holiday. Good time. Got to hang out and just relax for a little bit. And my producer, Aaron, is here with me. Aaron, how about you, man? Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, I got to spend some time with some friends, play some cornhole, have a couple of festive adult beverages, and good times all around. How about yourself?
Yeah, now I know a lot of our listeners are wondering how you're doing with your move. You got moved in last week. Are you all set and ready to go now, or you still got work to do?
More or less. I still have some things to unpack and organize, but all the necessities are set. You know, everything in my room is all good. My clothes are put away. The kitchen's ready to go. Things like that.
Yeah, nice. You felt comfortable partying and having some fun over the last few days instead of feeling like you had a lot of work at home to get done, it sounds like.
Yep, I was fine with putting it off another day or two.
Yeah, what the heck? Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow, right? That's my motto. Hey, welcome to the Stu Daniels Show. You can hear this show Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. If you want to join us on the phone, you can. 715 is the area code, and the number is 388-7155. Taking a look outside the window today, going to be partly sunny across most of western Wisconsin. We'll have highs in the 70s if you're up in the Hayward, northwestern Wisconsin area. It'll be in the mid-70s. And if you're most anyplace else in western Wisconsin, it's going to be in the upper 70s. And in sports, you probably know the Brewers lost to the Cubs last night. An exciting game, 11 innings, final score 7-6. Game three of that four-game series is tonight. And the Brewers, by the way, are now a full game behind the Cincinnati Reds, who will be in Milwaukee this weekend for a big series right before the All-Star break. So that'll be exciting, especially if you're into baseball, and even if you're not, right? Well, I have a lot of topics I want to get to today. First, I want to take a quick look at the headlines. And as you may have heard, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Wisconsin should end the state's scholarship program that assists minority students. Also in the news today, roller coaster riders were stuck upside down for over 3 hours Sunday at the Forest County Festival in Crandon. And for basketball fans, Bucks fans, Robin Lopez is coming back to the Milwaukee Bucks to join his brother Brooke for the upcoming season. And truckloads of fresh farm milk are being dumped into Milwaukee's sewer system. Now, I think the first topic we're going to discuss today is something pretty important. And in fact, one of the most important subjects, one of the most important topics, education. What's more important than education? Obviously, if we have an educated public, if we have educated people, then hopefully the educated people will be able to solve more of the world's problems, more of our local problems, and just have a better quality of life in general, right? So you want the people to get the best education possible. You want smart people coming out of high school when they're 18 years old and possibly going on to secondary education or post-secondary education, getting bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, doctorate degrees. And so it's important to have smart people teaching kids. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, if they were your kids, wouldn't you prefer someone with advanced degrees from accredited schools teaching your kids rather than just somebody off the street? Well, you know, it seems like throughout my life, there have been Democrats and Republicans. There have been liberals and conservatives. And it seems like, for the most part, the politics was left out of education. You know, that was one of the foundations of public education. Let's leave the politics out of it. Let's leave religion out of it. And let's teach the kids. And if you want to teach them about religion at home, that's fine. You can do that. But let's leave that stuff out of the public education system. But now those clear lines are being made not so clear. They're being blended or diluted. And now it seems like more and more some people want to control what kids learn in school so that it fits their political dynamics. So it fits into what they believe is their side of the political aisle. And we've seen this throughout history, although not in this country very much, but in other areas around the world over history. Authoritarian figures, authoritarian governments, throughout history, banning books, burning books, controlling what's taught in our classrooms. And now in Wisconsin and other places, this move by some, especially conservatives in the right wing, Republicans, they want to control what our kids learn in school. And there's a clear illustration of this in an opinion piece I just came across in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This was just posted a couple of hours ago. And it's from a teacher who devoted his life to teaching kids. And before he did that, he got advanced degrees. He achieved advanced degrees, was awarded advanced degrees so that he could become one of the best educators. This piece, this opinion piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is written by Ross Freshwater, a teacher in Waukesha. For those of you not familiar with Waukesha, it's a suburb outside of Milwaukee. I'm sure most of you know where it is. But Mr. Freshwater has a PhD in education leadership and policy analysis from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He also has a master's degree in teaching and curriculum from Harvard University and a bachelor's degree in political science from The Ohio State University. And he wrote a really interesting piece, an opinion piece, that appears in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the sad story is that Mr. Freshwater has decided to leave the education system in Waukesha because of how things have changed. And I'm going to read this. It's not very long, but it gives you some indication as to what's going on in our schools these days. Ross Freshwater, the writer of this, school board policies left me no choice but to leave Waukesha schools. Subheadline says Waukesha South, which is the high school there, one of the high schools. Waukesha South is a microcosm of 21st century America and the changing face of our suburbs. Says, I became a social studies teacher at Waukesha South High School in 2016. Fresh from 3 years living abroad in Mexico, I passed on an offer to work at the number one ranked school in the state for the opportunity to be a part of one of Wisconsin's most diverse school communities, composed of a rich mix of Latino, white, African-American, Asian, and indigenous students from across the socioeconomic and political spectrum. The high school is in many ways a microcosm of both 21st century America and the rapidly changing face of its suburbs. In my classroom sat students with rainbow earrings and MAGA t-shirts. So you have both extremes, right? Who carry family stories of contemporary global conflicts alongside Wisconsin's pioneer settlers. They play sports and act in plays together, engage adeptly in the give and take of a pluralistic space, all while forging a rich community from their collective teenage experience. Over my first 5 years with the district, central office and building administration encouraged the practice of research-based pedagogy or education in the classroom. In social studies, this took the form of theme-based units that took deep dives into inquiry-based teaching and learning. Got to take a quick break, but I want to finish this on the other side of the break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media.
608-819-8255.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with highs around 76. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 49. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 73. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 65.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Into the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning, the day after Independence Day. Talking about a few different things on this Wednesday morning. And just before the break, we were discussing this op-ed piece, an opinion piece that appears in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, posted just a couple hours ago. And it illustrates what's going on in our education system these days as extremists start to take over our school boards. This story from Waukesha, Wisconsin. And this piece is written by Ross Freshwater, a teacher in the Waukesha School District. This gentleman has a PhD in education leadership and policy analysis from UW-Madison, also a master's degree in teaching and curriculum from Harvard University, as well as a bachelor's degree in political science from The Ohio State University. And Mr. Freshwater has decided to leave the education system because of what's going on with extremists who have taken over the school board. Talking about in this piece, he was talking about the diversity of the Waukesha School District, specifically Waukesha South High School, where he was teaching. And he was talking about how things have changed just in the last few years. Where I left off, he said, over my first 5 years with the district, Waukesha School District, central office and building administration encouraged the practice of research-based pedagogy or education in the classroom, research-based education. In social studies, this took the form of theme-based units that took deep dives into inquiry-based teaching and learning. Teachers were encouraged and provided support in the cultivation of a deep and diverse trove of lesson materials from which they had the discretion to pull the topics and material that were most relevant to the interests of the students in the room. Then came the COVID-19 mask debate and the death of George Floyd. What had been a school board populated by candidates of nonpartisan elections was soon replaced via one political party's open endorsement of a full slate of candidates. This new board's reign began with the removal of masks before a large cross-section of the community was even vaccinated. Soon after, the small rainbow-colored safe zone signs that hung by many teachers' doors disappeared. Upon our return to our classrooms in August of 2022, teachers found gaps in their shelves where controversial books had once stood. Remaining in district libraries were six copies of Adolf Hitler's autobiography, Mein Kampf. The day after, at a district meeting, history teachers were handed a heavily scripted curriculum expected to be taught in lockstep across schools, with the explicit dictate that all potentially controversial topics be presented to the board before entering the classroom. Sounds scary. And I'll finish this opinion piece right after the break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. 4th of July fireworks giving way to gun violence in multiple cities overnight. Several shot in New York City and in Boston. Washington, D.C. saw 9 people shot in a neighborhood drive-by. That's on top of multiple shootings across the country the night before the holiday, including a deadly one in Philadelphia.
Police say a gunman carrying a police radio, wearing a bulletproof vest and a mask, fired into a crowd at a July 4th gathering, killing at least five people. Two of the survivors were two-year-old boys, one of them shot four times in the leg, the other injured from broken glass.
ABC's Faith Abube. And in the Middle East, the Israeli military says its operation in a West Bank Palestinian refugee camp is over. 12 Palestinians and one Israeli soldier were killed in the fighting, more than 140 people hurt. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. One man is injured and four men are arrested after a target shooting incident near Elroy Sunday night. The Monroe County Sheriff's Department says a man was shot in the leg and the bullet came from next door. Deputies found four people were target shooting without a proper backstop. That allowed stray bullets to travel across a highway and as far as 10 football fields away. The four men target shooting each faced seven felony counts of recklessly endangering safety. Part of the intersection of Skeels Avenue and Mall Drive in Eau Claire is closed today. You should be ready for lane restrictions on the westbound north lane of Skeels Avenue and Mall Drive north of Skeels. Crews are also working on an alley in downtown Eau Claire. It's east of Barstow Street from Main Street to Grand Avenue. The project should be done by the 21st. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Too much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
waiting on you. You told me you was gonna call me. Now I don't know what to do. You might not care, this is true. I want you to know I still love you.
That's what I'm talking about. 8:35 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Some tasty, tasty licks from Little Ed and the Blues Imperials. One of the great blues bands. Been on tour for the past almost 40 years now. If you ever get a chance, I'd highly recommend checking them out. And Aaron, my producer, were you telling me that you think that they are going to be in Wisconsin later this year?
Yeah, they have a few shows in Wisconsin. Let's see, including... coming up this weekend, there's... Oh, no, that one's in St. Paul, Minnesota. So it's pretty close. But
yeah, pretty close to some of our listeners.
Later on, they're going to be in Racine and Wausau in August. And then in September, on the 15th and 16th, there's the Best Dam, D-A-M, Blues Festival in Thiensville. And they are the main headliner for that.
Wow.
It is also free.
Say that again?
It's also free. It's a charity event.
Wow. Well, that sounds like it would be fun. For those of you that don't know, Thiensville's one of the suburbs of Milwaukee. So it's down in southeastern Wisconsin. Southeastern Wisconsin. But if you ever get the chance, I would check those guys out. That sounds like a fun weekend, that Best Damn Blues Festival. But Little Ed and the Blues Imperials, I've seen them many times over the years. I try to see them at least once a year because they're always on tour and it's always a good time. Hey, by the way, Aaron, have you ever, or did you ever have, when you were in your school days, did you ever have a teacher who made a difference in your life, someone that you felt really made you a better student or even maybe a better person?
Definitely. I've had a few of those.
Yeah. I think we all have teachers that have made a difference in our lives. And not all teachers are going to have that effect on the kids. And some teachers may have that effect more than others. And I think there are those who dedicate their lives to educating our kids and making our kids better people for the future generations. And those teachers are valuable. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because just before the break, we were discussing an opinion piece that is posted at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just posted this morning, by a gentleman who was a teacher in the Waukesha School District and has decided to leave the district after things have changed. In this opinion piece, and by the way, I should mention that the teacher's name is Mr. Freshwater, Ross Freshwater. He's got a PhD in education leadership and policy analysis from UW-Madison, also a master's degree in teaching and curriculum from Harvard, and a bachelor's degree in political science from Ohio State University. And in this piece, he was talking about how things have changed quite a bit in the last few years in the classroom and in education generally. He cites two events that really made things change quite a bit, the COVID-19 mask debate and the death of George Floyd. And he talked about how his school board at one time, at least until recently, was populated by candidates of nonpartisan elections, but now has been replaced by a political party's open endorsement of a full slate of candidates. And I think you would assume that it's the Republican Party that's putting up these candidates now. And if that's what you assumed, you would be right. He talked about the fact that books disappeared from the shelves of many of the teachers. And when these gaps in their shelves were, when they found these gaps in their shelves, what had been placed on those shelves instead of the books that were there, which may have been some kind of controversial books, six copies of Adolf Hitler's autobiography, Mein Kampf, had been placed on the teachers' shelves.
And it says here, I'll finish this story. It says, the day after that happened at a district meeting, history teachers were handed a heavily scripted curriculum expected to be taught in lockstep across schools with the explicit dictate that all potentially controversial topics be presented to the board before entering the classroom. In February of this year, just about 5 months ago, the board then ordered staff to address students by their assigned birth gender in the event that a student's wishes on the matter contradicted their parents. Over 40% of Waukesha South High School students come from families with direct ties to developing countries, yet they are now forced to learn the vocabulary word third world within the new scripted history curriculum. Outside of Waukesha, that word was mostly retired over a decade ago to avoid offending people from those nations. What Waukesha students are not being taught is that Mexico has grown its economy to the point that it is the 15th largest in the world, a fact that could be a major point of pride for those students with ties to that country who also comprise about 35% of the Waukesha South High School community. The board, the Waukesha School Board, instead chose curriculums that stress the deficits of foreign cultures over their assets. The board instead chose curriculums that stress the deficits of foreign cultures over their assets. When their family roots are framed as deficits within a class lesson, young people often shut down. When they are framed as developing assets by teachers given the executive function to build bridges between knowledge and learners, those students' interest in the topic often comes alive. Okay, did you get that? When the family roots of a student are framed as deficits within a class lesson, young people often shut down. But when they are framed as developing assets by teachers given the executive function to build bridges between knowledge and learners, those students' interest in the topic often comes alive. But the teachers aren't being allowed to teach that now. The piece continues and says, on March 20th, I was called into a meeting to discuss my opposition to new board policies. It opened with, quote, "These are our policies. You are expected to follow them. Is this your resignation?" After a 2-second pause, my convictions pushed me to respond with a firm yes. So it sounds like the teacher, Mr. Freshwater, was not willing to go along with all of these new policies. The board told him, "These are our policies. You're expected to follow them. Are you ready to resign?" Mr. Freshwater said yes. He continues this opinion piece and says, "I take pride in the fact that my classroom is a place where students of many backgrounds and persuasions often engage in meaningful discussions about the prominent issues and questions of our modern world. Anonymous student surveys reveal that the young people in my class feel they are in a safe space where they are free to discuss important topics that are relevant to their lives. The fact that kids in Bernie Sanders and thin blue line t-shirts stop by after 3:05 p.m. reinforces for me the notion that this is true. If I were to remain at South High School, Waukesha South High School, I'd commit to maintaining that spirit within my classroom, and I fear that would lead to my dismissal by the board. As much as I'll miss my students and colleagues with two kids of my own at home, I cannot take that risk." So Mr. Freshwater decided to resign. A highly qualified teacher who obviously cared about the kids in his classroom, no matter their background, no matter their persuasion or how they saw their future. He was there to teach them, make them better students, make them better people. But now he's not there anymore. Now someone else is going to replace him. And who do you think that school board would have replace him? Obviously, not a teacher like him. They would want somebody more inclined to follow their policies, not teach about
about the history of gender issues over the years, history of African-American, Latino histories and cultures, and not teach about LGBTQ issues, and make sure the kids understand Adolf Hitler's autobiography better. That's where we're at. Is that where we want to be? At 8:45 right now, going to take a break in a couple of minutes. Before we do, I want to get to this story about the roller coaster. Aaron, are you a roller coaster guy? Do you head right for the coasters when you get to the park?
Not really. I haven't been in any big ones. I think I've only been on a wooden roller coaster that's in Green Bay. So I don't know.
You haven't been chasing down the coasters across the country. Well, that's okay, because sometimes weird things happen on roller coasters. Riders got stuck upside down for hours after a carnival ride malfunction at Forest County Festival in Crandon. This happened a couple days ago, and this story is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says a fear for many was unlocked on Sunday at the Forest County Festival in Crandon as a carnival ride got stuck while riders were upside down. Those on the ride were stuck for at least 3 hours while first responders worked to find a solution. The Antigo Fire Department reported to the scene shortly after 2 p.m. Scott Brass was at the festival that day and wrote on Facebook that 8 people were stuck on the fireball ride at the festival. CBS 58 News reported that a captain with the Crandon Fire Department said, quote, "All we know that there is a mechanical failure with the ride where it became stuck in the upright position. The ride was recently inspected by the state of Wisconsin here on site, and at this time we do not have any other information." According to the report, all the riders, 7 of which were children, were taken to the hospital to be checked out, and hopefully they are okay. But that must have been a scary thing. I enjoy roller coasters, but I'm usually glad when the ride is over. And man, that would be a crazy experience to be hanging upside down for over 3 hours stuck on the ride. 8:47, stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with highs around 76. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 49. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 73. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 66.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Right now on this Wednesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Bob Marley on the radio. And we're discussing several different topics today. One of the things I wanted to get to was this opinion piece from Margaret Sullivan that appeared in The Guardian, because as we celebrate, or just celebrated, the 4th of July and all of the things that we love about this country, we also must admit there are some problems right now that must be addressed. Some of them are not being addressed. One of them you may have heard on the newscast is that gun violence took a toll over the holiday, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better, and no one seems to have any answers, especially those on the right side of the aisle, where it seems all regulation on guns, it seems like they just want to drop all regulation altogether. It's like, why should we have anybody register guns? Why should we have anybody trained in proper use of guns? Why not just let anybody, including those who may have mental or emotional health issues, why not just let everybody buy a gun? Isn't that what the NRA has always been about? We've heard over the years, over the decades, that you need to be armed. If we all had guns, then the world would be a lot safer. It's a good guy with a gun that stops a bad guy with a gun. Well, evidently, over the 4th of July weekend, the 4th of July holiday, there were a lot of bad guys with guns, and the good guys didn't get to them until it was way too late. And sometimes it seems like things are pretty grim, but there are reasons to feel encouraged, look on the bright side. And that's what this opinion piece is about, by Margaret Sullivan in The Guardian. The headline says, on the 4th of July, here are a few reasons to feel encouraged about U.S. democracy. And the subheadline says, amid the Supreme Court rulings and the gun violence, there have been some heartening developments and a call to action. This piece starts out, by the way, it was posted on the 3rd, Monday, late Monday night. It's been a grim week or so in the United States, especially for those with progressive values. In Baltimore, a deadly mass shooting underscored again how desperately gun reform is needed, and tragically, how unlikely it is to happen. And in Washington, a spate of Supreme Court rulings undid decades of forward movement. The court's right-wing majority rejected affirmative action in college admissions, favored religion over anti-discrimination laws, and knocked down Joe Biden's plan to forgive student loan debt. Add to that the one-year anniversary of the court's devastating overturning of Roe v. Wade, and you could practically hear the sound of hard-won progress being sucked down history's drain. Pretty depressing, all told. But despite that, there are reasons to feel encouraged about the future of the nation on this, its 247th birthday. First, the successful effort in Congress to protect democracy and electoral integrity known as the Electoral Count Act reform. Widely seen as the most important such reform in a generation, it developed in direct response to Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election, which came to a violent head in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Among its many admirable provisions, it prohibits state legislatures from changing how electors can be selected after an election. Then, in one of two positive pieces of Supreme Court news in recent weeks, the court rejected a dangerous effort to allow states to ignore their own state constitutions. Undeterred, that could have radically transformed how federal elections are conducted by giving state legislatures a great deal of power to set rules for federal elections. The court also unexpectedly struck down Alabama's racial gerrymandering plan under the Voting Rights Act. I find it oddly encouraging that, according to a recent USA Today Suffolk University poll, 7 in 10 Americans think our democracy is, quote, imperiled. Of course, people define that peril according to their own politics and worldviews, but it is undoubtedly one reason why election denialists were roundly defeated during last year's midterm elections. As NBC News's Adam Edelman put it, quote, nearly every single candidate in battleground state races who denied or questioned the results of the 2020 election was defeated for positions that oversee, defend, and certify elections. A resounding loss for a movement that would have had the power to overturn future contests, end quote. Most Americans apparently don't want extremists running elections, and they understand how high the stakes are. Quote, our democracy is fortifying itself on many levels, Greg Sargent of the Washington Post wrote recently. That happened because citizens and government officials took post-2020 threats seriously. It's a good thing that they did, since according to one respected organization, the Virginia-based Center for Systemic Peace, the United States in late 2020 no longer could clearly be categorized as a democracy. It had become, for the first time, an anocracy, which shares qualities of both autocracy and democracy. America's rating has more recently improved, putting us back, though not safely, in the democracy zone. There's a little bit more to this opinion piece we'll get to after the top of the hour break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
The Deronda Lutheran Church is holding a multifamily garage sale on Wednesday, July 5th from 1 until 5 p.m. and Saturday, July 8th from 8 till noon. For more details, nuicparish.org. On July 10th, the Indian Head Barbershop course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46 in Balsam Lake. If you're a guy and you like to sing, you are welcome. Stop by Michael Park on Wednesday, July 12th, and listen to Sean and Ian Okamoto at 6 p.m. And July 13th through July 16th, it's the New Richmond Fun Fest. Stop on by for some food, beverages, and live music entertainment all of those days.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us, and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm